So we're going to start. Who's excited for conference? Yeah, again, Kingdom Conference. Everybody knows the vision and everything for that. It is a unified gathering of young people to encounter the King and what? Expand his kingdom, right? So it was kind of been on my heart for the youth to also just speak about our vision and just do a series. So we're going to, this is the part one of our vision series. Cool? So part one, our vision, first of all, it's all about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Church is about Jesus. What we do is about Jesus. If we lose sight of Jesus, wherever, whatever we're doing, we have to come back to Jesus. Amen? So the vision for our ministry, for the youth and young adults ministry, is to build and equip a community with and on Jesus for the kingdom of heaven and keen to rule in all spheres of life. So basically, we want to build a family together. We want to build a sisterhood, brotherhood, family of God together. So we're able to experience God in all the areas of our life. To experience Him as Lord over our finances, Lord over our relationships, Lord over our school, Lord over every aspect of your life. That's the goal here. And to build a family where we can be able to get tools, get encouraged to do that in our life and do it together. Amen? That makes me excited. So we're going to break it down because I know like sometimes when vision statements, you're like, wow, that sounds good. But what goes into that, right? So we're going to start. So first, it's build and equip a community. I want to break down the vision so we understand every part of it. So the first thing is community. We are a community, right? Community, another word for it is family, church, body, the bride, right? We are the bride of Christ. We are the church of Christ. We are the family of Christ. Cool? Family is God's idea. Family is God's idea. That's the first thing. We have to understand that we did not create family. God actually created family. You know what the Trinity is? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What does that look to you like? A family. That's a family. Right? They're in communion with one another. They're in relationship with one another. They're one, but it is a picture of family. Right? So we're going to look in Genesis 1:26. It says, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Who is our? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? They're in community with one another. They're in communion with one another, right? And in our image, meaning we want them to be part, we want them to reflect our image, right? Because who knows, when Adam was created, it wasn't just Adam. Then God gave him Eve. Amen? God created marriage between one man and one woman. That's it. Anything else is a lie from the devil. I'm just going to be straight up, right? God created marriage as well. Marriage is not like, wow, humans are so smart, they invented marriage. No, like God instituted marriage. He said, here is a wife for you. Here's Eve, right? God made marriage. Marriage is a covenant, right? But the reason God, even when He created us, in His image, He created marriage to reflect a part of Him as well. We're going to get into this. So marriage between one man and one woman is already family. That's a family right there. Marriage is a covenant. Amen? What does a covenant mean? It's a promise that is not to be broken. It's like, it's a relationship, it's a set of things that we're holding together. This is what binds us together. A binding contract. Okay? So marriage is a covenant, and guess what? We are in covenant through the blood of Jesus. Amen? So we are in marriage with Jesus. We, the church, are the bride of Jesus. Do you see how God illustrated marriage between man and woman to reflect that He wants to be one with us, with His church and Jesus? He wants to be one with us. He wants us to be part of the community that He's already been from the beginning. The communion. Amen? So it is relationship with him and one another. Guess what? Church is not an organization. We have to break that, slice that in half, okay? Church is not an organization. It's not a business. It's like, they're always asking for my money. No, it's not a business. What else is it not? It's not religious. It's not a religion. Church is a body of believers doing community with one another. Amen? Relationship is not manufactured, it's cultivated. So as a family, how many of you know you can have a brother and sister, but if you never talk to them, it's kind of hard to have a relationship with them, right? You can't just say, we're brother and sister, boom, we're like closest buddies ever. No, relationship is cultivated. Why I'm illustrating this is because we want to build relationship with one another. We don't just want to be, oh, brother in Christ, hello. Like, we have to be intentional with one another to build relationship. If we want a strong community, we have to have strong relationship. Amen? So first thing, family is God's idea. This is what he has meant for us from the beginning of time. To be in family, to be in community. All right? Second point, community and church is built on Jesus and with him. How many of you know there's a lot of communities that are not built on Jesus? A lot of communities that are not around Jesus, but around maybe everything else that is wrong. Right? We have to understand that we're not just gathering because, oh, we go to the same church, or our families go to the same church. We're gathering around Jesus because this is what Jesus desires for us. We're gathering and building upon the rock who is Jesus. Amen? So let's look at it. Matthew 16:18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So on this rock, it's not Peter. Peter is not the rock he's talking about. The rock, and we have a whole religion based upon this because now we have a pope. You guys know Catholic Church has a pope? Yeah. The rock in this, it says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock is the revelation that Peter received that Jesus is the Son of God. Upon that revelation, we build the church, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Lord of Lords. He says who he is God. That's what we build upon, the church. That is the only thing that we can build upon, is that revelation. That is the foundation. If a community is not built upon the Lordship and deity, the fullness of Jesus, then it's not God's church. It's not Jesus' church. A church must be built upon the revelation that he is fully God. Amen? You can look at a lot of other communities, a lot of other religions, and guess what? To them, Jesus is not God. He's not the Son of God. He's a prophet. He's a great teacher. He was a great spokesman. See, and those communities are not God instituted, because the only community God instituted is the one that is built upon his Son, Jesus. Amen? We have to understand these points, guys. So, church in this, in Matthew 16:18, this is a little teaching, so bear with me. 16:18. So, church, the word church is ekklesia in Greek. Say ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ekklesia is an assembly or a community of Christians. It's made up of two Greek words that are compound. It means to be a calling out. Did you know when Jesus saved you, he called you out to be set apart in a community for him? A church is a called out people that gathers around Jesus and his presence and builds upon Jesus. Amen? So we're gathering as called out people, God's remnant, to be able to build his church, to be able to see the kingdom of God extended over the earth. Amen? Church, how many of you know that church is not these four walls? Church is not a building. Church should be outside these four walls, amen? If we gathered in a house, that's church. If we gathered in a park, that's church, amen? Church is a people. Church is not a building. Church is a gathering of people. It's a people who have one thing in common, and that's we all are in the blood of Jesus. We are all the same color, red, in the blood of Jesus. Amen? You can have community that's not built around Him or on Him. But I thank God that we are a community, that Christ once found us, and now we are in community with other people that have been found by Christ, right? And now we're able to just be family to one another, brothers and sisters. How many of you know if we don't have the same blood, we're not brothers and sisters? But we have one blood. Sounds like a gain almost. One blood. We have one blood, Jesus Christ, amen? It's really important to understand. He is the head, the authority, and we are the body that depends on Him and are led by Him. Jesus is the head of the church. See, it's we have pastors, we have leaders, right? But the head of the church is Jesus. We depend. Guess what? You cut off the head, the body don't work. True? You cut off the head, it's functionless. Is that a word? It's not functioning. The body without the head is nothing. That's why it's so important to understand when we are together, we're led and the authority is Christ. God is our head, right? And if we all gather and submit under the head, we're able to function as a body together. Amen? Third point. I'm teaching in points because it's so we can follow along. Kingdom and church is family. So first two, family was God's idea, right? Second, church is built on Jesus and with Him. Amen. You can't build a church without Jesus. You can't build a church without Holy Spirit. It's like, oh God, thanks for the idea. I'm going to go do it. No, like He wants to partner with us to build and raise this church. Amen. When we minister to one another, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's not through your own strength. He's empowered us to minister to one another through the Holy Spirit. So, third point, kingdom and church is family. We are a family of brothers and sisters through His blood. Ephesians 2:13. It says, "But now Christ Jesus, who you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." Do you know what gave you access to the body of Christ? Do you know what gave you access to have family? It's His blood. His blood made a way. When that veil was torn, God's like, I'm inviting you back into community with Me. I'm inviting you back to relationship with Me. When that veil was torn, that wall that separated us from God and us was torn. And now we're able to enter back into communion with Him. We're entering back into relationship with Him by the blood of Jesus. Amen? "For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Why this is such a deep thing is when God's body was broken, He was breaking down all the walls and barriers that people had in between Him and in between each other. This is, so communion, you guys know communion is, right? Of course you do. Communion is the bread and the blood. The body and the blood, right? So guess what? Not only when we break the bread, that's showing a picture that we have access to Him. He has broken that wall of hostility. Hostility means that wall that creates conflict, division, right? He has broken that wall. When we break the bread, we realize what He has done for us. He has allowed us to enter into one body, not only with Him, but with others. So think about it. When you're eating the bread, you're recognizing that my fellow neighbor is part of the body as well. It's such a deep revelation. So my brother next to me, he's part of this body. And when I eat, I proclaim that Jesus has broken the wall of hostility. That's why it's so important to realize that what his body did for us, that we have no right to like hold offense over somebody. We have no right to be like not forgive somebody. God has already forgiven. He's like, I tore my body so you guys could be one. It's one time, I'm just going to share this. When there was like things happening, relationship happening between the church, stuff that was kind of high tension, I was supposed to pray about the church at a prayer service. And I was literally walking and thinking about it. And it's like God allowed me to feel his pain. It's like he allowed me to feel his pain in prayer. And imagine if you have a body, right? And guess what? It's ripping apart. Would that hurt you? Absolutely, right? Imagine what it is when brothers and sisters curse at each other or have conflict. Is that not ripping apart the body? When you speak badly against your neighbor, is that not ripping apart? Is that not creating space? Like, imagine just a tearing of the flesh. What you do affects others. And what they do affects others. It says in the Bible, when one weeps, we weep together. If one rejoices, we rejoice together. Amen? Because it's a body. If your toe gets stubbed, guess what? Your whole body doesn't feel good. Your whole body feels pain, right? Your brain's like, oh, there's pain. Your brain is in your head. Guess what? Jesus reveals the pain that we have. Why? Because he wants to heal the pain that we have. Amen? So, verse 15, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two. One new man in place of two. So making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body. So, see, him getting his body torn apart reconciled us back to him. Reconcile is like we have been brought back to him, like in the beginning in the garden. In one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit and to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're not strangers and aliens to God, and you're not strangers and aliens to one another. But you are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. What's up, fella? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When someone asks you, how many are in your household, right? How many live in your house? The household is your family, basically, right? You have become the household of God. God created himself a house, a body of people, and you are part of that house now. You are considered a member of the family. Amen? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So cornerstones, you guys remember, is the first stone that is laid. And according to the stone, every other stone is laid in alignment to that stone. So whatever we build, whatever when we build each other up, or we build certain things, certain ministries, it's always aligned to Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Because we're laying stones down. It always has to align to him, the revelation of Christ. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. What is a temple? A temple is a place where God resides. It's a place that God dwells. And together as believers, when we're unified and we're building upon each other, we're building upon the revelation of Jesus, it creates a dwelling place for the presence of God to come. That's why when we're in unity and we recognize, oh, you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a member, and we're in unity and we encourage one another as brothers and sisters, that's when his presence is able to dwell among us. That's so powerful. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So when we're building community, when we're building relationship with one another through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through love, through honoring one another, we are creating a place where God can dwell, where God can is able to move, where God is able to speak. Amen? That's why it's so when we gather, we're recognizing one another. This is my brother. This is my sister. Together, we're creating a place for God's presence to come and transform us. Amen? We become a temple for the Lord. And this is what I love. Everybody in the family has a part. You're not just the youngest of them all. I get to sit on the couch and everybody makes my food. Everybody does my chores. That's not how it is. Everybody in the family of God has a part. Your part is not sitting in church. Sorry, but not sorry. Your part is so much greater. Everybody in a family has their part to do, right? And everybody in this youth has a part to do. So you're not excluded. You're like, man, I don't have my part. I'll just let everybody else do it. No, no, that's not how a family works. Everybody in a family has a function and a gift and a purpose. Amen? All of you have different gifts. Guess what? You're not going to be like the other person next to you. And that is a beautiful thing. Because guess what? That destroys every competition. You can't compete with, someone might sing a certain way and lead a certain way. Someone might sing a different way and lead a certain way. Someone might preach a certain way. Someone might prophesy a certain way. Everybody has a different way of doing it. But that's the beautiful thing, because if we were all the same, we would just be like one finger. And a finger by itself is useless. We are all different, so we're able to fill the body all in all. We're able to, look, if my finger has something special to do, it's able to help a wound that's been created on an arm that has, like, we're able to fill each other. We're able to help each other in our weakness. Amen? I know this is so super basic, but this is community. This is what God intended for us. Amen? So we want to be a community which is a dwelling place for God, a house that welcomes his presence. So imagine we have a house here. We build a house, right? And God walks in. He's like, I want to see. I'm coming with my presence. And we want to build a house where his presence is welcome and we're able to keep his presence. We're able to host his presence. Amen? We're not people who are going to hinder it, who are going to ignore it, but we're going to be the best host that we can. That's what it means to host his presence. Imagine God coming as a guest and you're like, oh, I'm going to be the best host. You want some chai? I got you some chai. Like we're going to come to him and we're going to give our full attention, right? Do you notice when you build a house, the whole house is not made out of concrete? Okay, maybe in some places. But when you build a house, it's made out of different parts, right? Just as we are made of different parts, just as every single person is different, guess what? Someone might be the wall, someone might be the floor, someone might be the chair, right? They're all different parts, but they all have a place in the house to make it comfortable. So when he comes, it is a house that is comfortable for him. When he comes with his presence, us being all different, coming together, creates a dwelling place for God. So we must be brothers and sisters to one another. Amen? We're on the same team. So we got to cut out all the bickering. Not that it's among us, but all the bickering, all the complaining, all the awkwardness, like, oh, I don't know. Like, no, we're brothers and sisters, right? We should cut everything out. If there's anything that's standing in the way, we should be like, no, I, for the sake of the body of Christ, for the sake of love, I'm going to put this aside because I want to be a place that honors God. I want to be a place that honors brothers and sisters. And that's how we're going to grow together. It's not one person's anointing being like, everybody come, my anointing is so powerful. Like, no, together the presence of God is what people come to. And we cannot have the presence of God if there's disunity. right? God comes where there is order, where there is unity. And he stays where there is order and where there is unity. He's always with us. I'm not saying he ever goes. But there's a glory that comes. A glory is a tangible manifestation of his presence. That comes when we're in unity. It says in the Psalms, how well it is, how blessed it is when brothers dwell in unity, right? So it's so important to understand that we all have a part. And that there shouldn't be any jealousy or competition, but we should be able to celebrate Christ in each other. Amen? We regard each other not according to the flesh, but according to Christ in them, according to the Spirit. So for instance, I see someone struggling with certain things, talking about like, oh, a person, hey, this person, yeah, they're so annoying. I can't stand them, right? But we're supposed to call them like, but what about this? What about Christ in them? We're supposed to speak life into them, not beat them down. You can either build with a brick or you can throw a brick. It's the same. It's your words have power to either destroy a window or to build a building. Right? So brick by brick, someone doesn't do something well. You compliment them. Hey, like, you're going to get better at this. You build each other up. Amen? But when we start to talk about, oh, I can talk, it's not gossip, it's a prayer request. We really need to pray for this person. They're really struggling with this. I'm so fed up. Like, that's not helping them. Like, hey, we need to pray for peace in this person's life. We need to build them up. We need to see people where Christ sees them. Amen? Not where the world sees them. So family is what? God's idea. Amen? Church is built on and with Jesus. Kingdom and church is family. So we want to be a community. When we build a community, we want to be a community of love, right? A community of honoring one another, not of like bashing one another. A community where his presence is our priority, where we're like, God, we want you to dwell among us. Amen? We want you to be evident among us. And have you ever, you guys heard the word culture, right? Have you ever broke it down? It's like, I'm part of the Russian culture, right? What is a Russian culture? It's a set of standards or ideologies, ideas that are created by a group of people, Russians. That's Russian culture. The food is created by Russians. The language, whatever, right? It's that's the Russian culture, right? But if we want, and culture, guess what? Is only developed by a group of people. It's not developed by one person. It's developed by a group of people. Because if one person has an idea and nobody adds on to it, that's not a culture, that's a person with one idea, right? A culture is a group of people with the same standards and ideologies, right? So if we want to have a culture of kingdom, a culture of family, a culture of heaven, right? That means we have to have the standards of the kingdom. We have to have the ideas of the kingdom. We have to have the standards of family and the ideas of family. Amen? And it's not going to take one person. It's going to take all of us to cultivate a culture. You don't just say, we have a culture here. I proclaim a culture here, right? No, a culture is cultivated. What does that remind you of? Cultivate. When you cultivate a crop, you're not like, therefore, you will be a corn. And then, boom, it sprouts up. No, you have to work on it. You have to plant it. You have to water it. You have to take care of it. And it's the same thing when we want to develop a culture of love. We have to water it. We have to continue. We have to pick out the weeds. We have to uproot certain things that don't belong. And that's how we develop a culture. Amen? Because I desire for us to develop a culture of heaven. For us to develop a culture, a kingdom culture, which is looks like family, which is loving, where there's miracles happening, where there's just the God's presence is evident. Amen? A culture of his presence. So let us be a community, let us be a family around his presence. A community in communion with God. Amen? That's it. That's all I have for today. I want to really break this down for us, because when we understand who we are to each other and what we're building, I think it gives us a bigger picture and motivates us, like, wow, I really want to build a kingdom to honor God. Amen. I really want to build a kingdom where when people come into this culture, people already feel like, whoa, there's love here. Whoa, there's family here. They're not just gathering. They're not just they're not just attending a youth service. They're actually family. Amen. And that starts out when we build each other up, when we build each other up and build relationship to one another. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and we're going to pray.